Halacha Beis is on page Chof Tesim Alf, right there. Okay. Do you guys have the pictures? You know the pictures? Yeah, let me give you the pictures.
I have more pictures in my remarks.
You have all of them, right? The page before that. No, we're still on the flip side of this. No, you dial it. Still you dial it. Okay? We'll get on to Tesla in a few minutes. Okay, Arishu Yetim Na Madrega. You have an oris which is a row of five vines, which are trellised over a brick wall, and they are on a higher level than the field. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Imo made Boratzavotzer Skulo. If when you stand on the ground, you can reach up to the vines, which are up on a step, and harvest them, Hareza Osa Arbamas Basada, then it's considered that the vines are as if they're on the same level as the field itself, and the Nas is four Amos into the field. And if not, if you cannot reach from the ground level up to the vines which are on the step and harvest them, so then Ein Osa El Kenegda, so then the vines only answer up to on the step itself, but not down below on the ground. Then you have a picture of that, I believe. Oh, the picture's on a slant. No, actually the picture's not a slant. Picture Kuf Beis. Kuf Yuchav, excuse me. See picture Kuf Chav? There you have the Oris on the step. They're right there at the bottom. Bottom right. Okay, Kufchav. Okay, so there, if you can stand on the ground level and reach up to the Oris and harvest it, then again, the Oris Aser, it's as if it's on the same level, and it Aser's four Amos into the field. If you can't stand below and reach the vines, so then it doesn't Aser in the field itself.
Doesn't take into account
the
height of the person,
short? No, it doesn't take into average height, obviously, right? It's a Dindra Abanan, clearly, the Gemara will say. It can't be the Raisa, because such a thing is too arbitrary. Same thing is true if you plant one on the ground and one vine on the ground and one vine on the step. If between the step and the ground there's 10 tefachim, ain't mitzarevesimo. In that case, then the ones on the ground, one step, don't join together. Meanwhile, if there isn't 10 tefachim between the two, arayzim mitzarevesimo, then they do join together. Rabbi Shimon. Now, as I mentioned, the beginning of the Mishnah is the Rabbanon, because when it's almost on the same level, so then it looks like it's on the same level. So that's a Marasayan issue. So once we mention Marasayan issues, we're going to mention a couple of Marasayan issues from the rest of Shas. Rabbi Shimon bar Nachman, Bishim Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yonasan, Bishim Rabbi Lezer said, Hagomim es karmo pachos mitefach. If you cut down your vines to the point where the vines are less than a tefach high, they have a stump of less than a tefach, chayev barla, it's as if you replanted them when they grow again, and therefore the chayev and orla for the first three years of their growth. Even though mikra din, they're not considered to be replanted. Nonetheless, Marasayan, it looks like they're replanted. Similarly, Chayav Barla Mishum Marasayan, Chayav Alkos Marasayan. Now here's a typo according to the Gra. Divrei Chachomim, there's words missing. It should say Divrei Chachomim, Kodesh Chachomim, Ach Yogum Imarts. The Chachomim say, as long as there's some stump left, you don't have to do Orla again. But once you make the stump flush with the ground, again, even though midrash, it's not a new planting. But here we say Marasayan requires you to observe Orla of the 3 years. You don't have the place, Mr. Zucker, on Chof Tesim Aleph. How many lines to the bottom? You got it?
Three lines below the start of the
Gemara. Three lines below the way the Gemara starts. Okay, Similarly, another Marasayin Halach, Rabbi Shmuel Mar Nachman said, B'shem Rabbi Yehuda, son B'shem Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Hosa Krimi, now Lekha B'shicha Peah, if you make a pile out of Lekha Shicha or Peah, in other words, an Ani, a poor person, gather Lekha Shicha and Peah, which are normally exempt from Trumas and Maisrus, right? But if you made a pile of them, so it looks like you harvested them, so then Chai B'Trumah G'dol B'nei Marasayin. You have to give Trumah again because of Marasayin, because it looks like you made an actual harvest.
They know he's about it.
But they and he also have fields, so he looks like he had a field and he made a harvest. Rabbi Shua bar Nachman, b'shem Rabbi Yehuda's son, Rabbi Lez Miyakshu Beis Shammai said another Marasayin. Now this name Beis Shammai, Hameis Mitami Arba Amos Rishus Harabim. A mace is Mitami. Anybody comes in is four Amos in Rishus Harabim, even though it's not under an overhang. There's no ohel. Nonetheless, he's Mitami four Amos in all directions. Now the reason why he brings on the bottom is in order because otherwise the Levaya, people might jostle the mace, right? They might jostle the people who are carrying, you know. They're not all orderly like we have here in America. If you go to Levaya in Eretz Yisrael, they're extremely, extremely rowdy, right? So therefore, people might start jostling the mace and cork raising all sorts of bizoyan on mace. So therefore, we say, Midrabanan, the entire area of 4 hours around the mace is Mitame to try and keep people away from the mace. Midnake Vodo, because of the honor of the mace. Rabbi Mona Amar, Mona said, Hodach Raisa B'shum Beis Shammai. This last one is named Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yossi Be Rabbi Bun Amar, Kulu B'shum Beis Shammai. They're all Beis Shammai's opinion. Beis Hill doesn't agree necessarily with any of these halachas, which are Marasayin halachas. Rabbi Yoino, Rabbi Yoino said, Ofadoa Ditzninon. Also, our case over here in our Mishnah is Mivnei Marasayin, is also the Rabbanan case. Dilokain, if not, we mentioned this case, Mr. Zuger. Let me show him the picture. In this case, where the vines are standing on a step, and here you have ground, so we said that if you could stand on the ground and harvest the vines answer. So we're saying that it was a Marasayin halacha. It's not a halacha which has to do with a primary, you know, a daraisa din, but rather it's because it looks to people as if it's the same. Now says Yerushalmi, nice lumbus. By the way, I have all the tapes from last week. Okay.
One of the conditions where he can do it, where he lives very far from people,
never helps. When Chazal made it, Takana Kosa Marasayin, it makes no difference whether people see or not. In other words, the reason that Takana was because of what it looks like. But then we no longer care what people actually see and do not see. So it doesn't help. Okay? Sorry. No answer there. Okay. Now says Yerushalmi, very interesting lomda. This is really cool. Says Yerushalmi, Givoa. It says that the step is higher than the ground. Magivoa, what's higher than the ground? Shura, the row of vines, or do I say that Givoa Madrega, the step itself is higher? It's too fast for you, huh? All right. Can you turn that a little lower? Just one notch lower. If you can reach it. Thank you. No. Oh, it does? Oh. Two more. One more. Yeah, that's slow.
That's what you want, though,
right? No,
medium. Medium done. Sedate. All right. Now, with Yerushalmi, what?
The middle path, right.
What Yerushalmi is clearing is as follows. Yerushalmi is clearing, when we're talking about the step being higher than the ground, are we talking about the step being higher? Or are we talking about the row of trees itself being higher? What's the difference, you might ask? So it says, in tema gavar shura, if you're going to say that the row of trees is higher, in shofeya hamadrega, when you have a step which is on an angle, then I would say kilamaton, that it's like down below. Meaning, this is a cool, really cool case. If you say it like this, picture number Kuf Chaf Aleph. A picture, well, Kuf Chaf Aleph is actually what picture already said. No, same as this is our case. Okay, Kuf Chaf Aleph. If you're going to say that you look at, I still like dealing with Kuf Chaf Beis better. I like Kuf Chaf Beis. It's easy to deal with. Let's look at Kuf Chaf Beis. If you say that we look at the height of the row of trees, so when you have a step which is on an incline, you see the grade here is on an incline. So even if you look at the row of trees must be 10 tefachim off the ground in order to be separate from the ground. Okay? The row of trees, if you had a row of trees which is more than 10 tefachim away from the one on the ground, such as Kuf Chaf Aleph, going back to that picture, they wouldn't be connected. If you had a row of trees which is more than 10 tefachim off the ground, then it wouldn't answer the field. That's picture Kuf Chaf Beis. But if you look at the row and say the row is higher than the field. But what if you look at the step? Then even if the step itself is only 10 tefachim, anything planted on the step is considered to be distinct from the field. It's an amazing thing. If you look at, again, if you look at the row of trees, so you say the row of trees itself must be physically 10 tefachim higher than the field. But if you look at the step, as long as the step in its entire composition is more than 10 tefachim higher than the ground, then anywhere on the step is considered to be separate from the ground. Even at the bottom of the step, right. That's what the Yerushalmi is saying. What are we looking at? Are we looking at the row of trees or looking at the step itself? It's a cool thing, right? It's strange. Oh, so now we're learning, essentially we're learning is halachos to tell a mislakit. Tell a mislakit means when we have a wall which is not a straight wall, but a slope. What's the status of the side of the slope? That's really what our issue is. Okay, that's going to be a tough issue, and Yerushalmi is going to discuss it in some detail now. Okay? Got the issue? Again, in Tamar Givoa Shura, if you're going to say that we look at the height of the row of vines itself, Shofea Madrega, where you have a slope, then it's kilomaton. Sure, it says with a mem, but it should be kilomaton. It's as if the trees are on the ground. It does you no good. It answers the field. Itema givoa amadrega. If you're going to say we look at the height of the step itself, not the row of trees, then shofea, and here it's a little bit messed up also, shofea hamadrega kilomalon. Then the slope of the step is like it's higher. The entire slope is considered to be above and beyond the field, even when it's a mashu off the ground at the bottom of the slope.
Does it make a difference that it's a slope?
That's okay. Yes, the Gemara is going to discuss it. Yes, it's critical that it's a slant. Okay. Says the Gemara, wait a minute, Vatani, didn't we learn in the Braisa? Shtei Shurus B'Madrega. It talks about a case in the Braisa later on, we haven't seen this yet. Well, we're not going to see it anywhere else. This is Braisa, it's not a Mishnah. Does the Braisa say when you have two rows on the step itself? Islach Lemeimar Givoa Shura, Velo Givoa Madrega? Yeah, look at Kuf Chaf Dalet. Kuf Chaf Dalet. Is that last on the same page? No, that's Kuf Chaf Beis. Who has a new page? Yeah, you're on that page, right? Yeah. Okay. You know, how many people have that page? Are you the only one that doesn't have it? Okay, so looking together. Okay, so in that case of Kuf Chaf Dalet, so the Braisa says if there are there are 10 tefachim between the two rows of trees, one of two and one of three, planted on the slant, they're not mitzarif together. So says the Yerushalmi, this is a ride that we look at the height of the trees themselves, not the slope. Because if you look at the entire slope as being a surface unto itself, So then you shouldn't have any that should have nothing to do with distance between the trees. Rather, everything on the slope should be considered connected, or not connected as the case may be, but it shouldn't have anything to do with the distance between the trees, but rather the slope itself. That's what Gemara says. Isol chameimer gvar shura v'logva logva madre logva logva madre isol chameimer gvar shura logva madrego. So from this you derive it has to do with the height of the rows, not the height of the slope. Now, although that's what the Yerushalmi tries to infer the Raisa, the Yerushalmi immediately reneges on that proof. Amar Amona said, "Kol osan asara tvachish madrega asu osam kima mokum bifnei atzmo." All the 10 tvachim on the step are considered to be their own place. In other words, not like we just said. Even the lowest tefach off the ground is considered to be a separate place. Now here, since this is Yerushalmi, let's play a little bit of a game. If you see three lines later... Wait, just one second. If you see three lines, this is my own chiddush about to tell you. A change in gears on the Yerushalmi. Haven't done this in a while. It's fun. I like doing this. You see later, two or three lines later, bring down Rav Chista. Everybody see Rav Chista a couple lines later? So I think Rav Chista's statement should be up here. The statement of Chista has five words. Rav Chista Amar b'modeid lachsan, and the Pnei Moshe is supposed to be b'morad lachsan, and morad lachsan means on an angle. And Rav Chista is emphasizing that would you say that these 10 tefachim are placed unto themselves from the bottom of the slant to the top of the slant is specifically on a slant, on an angle, not where we have a straight wall. We'll come to the concept of a straight wall in a couple of minutes. Okay, he wants to emphasize this only on a slant, not on a straight wall.
How critical is that angle?
In other words, here in terms of Kilayim, usually it's the angle is 23 degrees. That's what we say by Shabbos. Tell me it's like it. I saw it. Fucking mitol char ba'amos. But here, which is the equivalent of 23. You know what? Give me the blue book, please. Is that what the tilt of the earth is? 23 degrees. This is the blue book. This is called the blue book on Hilchos Eruvin, and I happen to have it here tonight. The blue book on Hilchos Eruvin. That's whatever. It's not its official name, but that's what we call it. And the slant by Hilchos Eruvin is also 23 degrees. Let me just show you that, what it looks like. Here. This is the maximum slant the Lechi can have. 4 amos on the base by 10 tefachim height. So that's the slant which is still feasible, and that angle is 23 degrees. So that's the shear of Telem Mislakit. Okay? But here it seems by Kilayim. So you might say that this is the angle of attack of the slope necessary here. But here by Kilayim, it doesn't seem that we're so meticulous in determining what the angle of the slope is. As long as there's a slope of any sort, it's considered to be distinct from the field.
23
degrees is the minimum angle. It has to be 23. Right, but I don't think that there's a minimum here. In other words, by Eruvin, yes, in order to form a wall, you need a height of 23 degrees as a minimum wall. In other words, it has to be 23 degrees or more, right? But here, I don't know, it doesn't say that here at all, the parameters of the Gemara. So I don't think that the Yerushalmi is requiring that by Kilayim.
Yeah, it seems to,
right. But the Yerushalmi is not, it could be, the Yerushalmi is not specifying here, so my hunch is that it's not integral here, but I'm not 100% sure. Now, if we're learning Gemara, they have another picture book. Perush Chai and Irvin. All right. I don't think he was there for Irvin last night. Yeah. Don't worry. We're getting there soon. Okay. So now, Irvin's not good another couple weeks. No, Irvin is a while because Shabbos is long with Sechta. Another 8 months or so. Okay. Says the Gemara. Now, going further. Tamot, we learnt over there, and now we're going to draw a distinction. Tamotzi, we learned over there by Shabbos, Hazorek, Arba Amos, Bekoitzel, Lamala, Me'asor, Tvachim. Now here we're talking about straight wall. You throw in Rosh Hasharabim 4 Amos and it hits a wall. Lamala, Me'asor, Tvachim, if it hits the wall above Asor, Tvachim, Kizorek, Bavir, it's landing in a Makom Ptur, because we so in a place which exempts you from the Chiyuv. Because you say anything above 10 tefachim is a Malkum Ptur. Rosh Hasharabim only extends 10 tefachim up off the ground. So therefore, it has to begin in Rishus HaRabim. When you're throwing 4 amos Rishus HaRabim, has to begin in Rishus HaRabim and end in Rishus HaRabim. And here, that's not the case because it's ending in a Malkum Tur, so therefore, you're exempt. Okay? Lamata me'asot tefachim. If, however, if it hits the wall less than 10 tefachim, then it's below the 10th tefach mark on the wall. Then it's kizori parts as if it's landing on the ground. And yichayv and zori garba amitzushin sarabim. Now let's skip the next 4 or 5 words, right? Because we already moved them earlier. Says gemara ve'ain soifalei reid. Even if you throw it above 10 tefachim, isn't it going to fall down on the ground eventually? Says gemara, nope. Rabbi Chiya b'Shem Rabbi Yechonon said, "Tipoter, explain the same barakei shoyis a dvela shmeino. It's a thick, juicy date. Shivini toicha. It gets stuck onto the wall. So therefore, maybe eventually it'll come down, but not in the immediate future. And therefore, it doesn't have a status. Being thrown through Rishus HaRabim on the ground. Now, however, now comes the issue why he brought this down." Rabbi Chagai, boy, kumi Rabbi Yossi. Chagai asked in front of Rabbi Yossi, Leisador, Marta, Shipua, Madrego, Kilomaton. Doesn't this tell us that the slope of the angle is like the bottom? Because here it landed on the wall, which is 10 tefachim high, well, within 10 tefachim, and we're saying it's if it's on the ground. So let's do by us also, say by us also. The slope is as if it's on the ground. What's between that wall, which is perpendicular, and our wall, which is on a slope? Just like over there on the perpendicular wall within 10 tefachim of the ground, it's like on the ground. So to by us on the slope, if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, if it's on the slope, it should be considered on the ground, right? It's a good question. So it says, on my lay, so he said, no. Here's the difference. It's a very, very fine difference. Tamon zarin nanimina madrega. Over there, in which in Yerushalmi means by us, the nourishment of the vines comes from the soil of the step. The step is an independent thing, and the vines derive their nourishment from the soil of step. Param hacha, but here by the wall, derech be'adam liyoshafin ba. Is there any permanence in the side of a wall? Do people normally stick stuff on the side of the wall? Vino phallus. Things are going to fall if they're there. In other words, there's no independent significance. There's no entity which we can call the side of a wall. Side wall is not a place where you stick things onto. But the slope is an independent entity.
Doesn't
sharpen
mean like rub against it?
Right, I'm sorry, I translated wrong. Derech means people are going to rub against the wall and the date is going to fall down. Forgot, sorry. If you're going to rub against the wall and the date's going to fall down. So therefore, it's not the date has no permanent independent existence on the side of a wall. But here, the slope is a significant patch in and of itself. Okay? Says, what would be a proper parallel? Ilu Omar, were you to have said, Kshayoshom Chor, that there was a hole in the wall there, or a ledge of some sort, Vihin Nana Mina Chor, and the date would adhere to the wall by landing in that hole. Kishem Shazroi Nani Mina Madrega, just like the seeds are benefiting or deriving their nourishment from the step, then there would be a proper comparison. In other words, the slope is a permanent place and an independent place, and therefore it could be looked at as a separate entity. The side of a wall is not a permanent place, and therefore cannot be regarded as an independent significant entity. If you want to find an exception, I'll give you an exception. The exception is where there was a hole in the wall. Because there, when there's a hole in the wall, people are not going to rub against it and cause whatever's in the wall to fall out. In that case, take, if you threw it on the side of a wall, then one can make it and it went into the hole in the wall. Then one could make the case, and the Gemara does in Shabbos, that in that case it didn't fall into Rishus HaRabim. It doesn't help you very much, because I believe it's considered Rishus HaYochid then. But so you can chay because the other isn't. Or throwing in from Rishus Arayim to Rishus Eil, but maybe not. I don't recall. I might be wrong about that. But be that as it may, the point is that the comparison has to be made to a place which has significance in and of itself, to a place that has significance in and of itself. But the side of a perpendicular wall has no significance, whereas the side of a slope has significance and it is a place in and of itself. Okay? Is that relatively clear? The one where you threw the date? Why did it be a dirt wall? Give me the stone wall. It stuck to the stones temporarily. We're not talking about by, we're drawing parallel by the wall of Kilayim, which is the slope of the ground, to a wall by Shabbos, which is the side of a building. Okay? Says Yerushalmi further, along this vein. Shteginos, if you had two gardens. Zua Gavzu, one is
something about this logic, this you can't compare the two cases. And therefore,
by Kilayim, if you have a vine which is growing even at the first tefach above the ground on the slope, it doesn't aser the grain which is below the slope on the surface of the ground. Even one tefach away, which is the amazing kiddush here, because it's considered to be a vine which is connected to the slope with no relevance to the field. The slope, if you will, is a place in and of itself, even without a fence. Oh, so there, since it's on the same slope, so therefore the only really the slope would unite them. The only thing which would separate them is then the 10 fachim across. I like this picture here. It's a slope between two parts of the field. Okay? Says where Shtegino, now continuing along this line, Shtegino Zua Gabzu, you have two gardens, one above the other. Atachtona Suyakaran, the bottom garden, is a vineyard. But Yona Eno Suyakaran, the top garden is not a vineyard. So Reyes El Yona, you can plant the top garden, Achu Magia La Avira Sora, until you get within the 10th falcon of the airspace of the bottom, of the bottom garden. Now that means that if you're planting on the side of the slope here, Rabbi Isai, you plant on the side of the slope until you reach, let's say this is 10 fachim from the ground. See, it continues this way, right? This is the top kino, top bottom. So you can plant the top, whatever you're planting, up to a line 10 fachim above the next one. Okay? This can all be planted. We're talking about a case where the yoina is grain. So you can plant your grain all across the top and along the side until you reach 10 fachim from above the vineyard below. You see that? Okay? So says Rabbi Boom Brachia Boy come Rabbi Yazira. Why is that? According to logic, we just learned this is difficult because up to where should you be allowed to plant the grain? All the way up to the base of the slope, right? All the way up to the base, right? So says Boom Brachia Boy come Rabbi say Leisa Tom Rashi Pua Amajer Kalamaton. Isn't this teaching us that the slope is left down like down below? So he said, Omer Lay said it's different. We're afraid if you plant over here, then the grain is going to grow out like this. And it's going to grow directly out over the vineyard. That we don't want to happen. Okay? So hypothetically, we could plant all the way to the bottom, but we're afraid. Right. Where it grows out. Now, vice versa. If the top field is a vineyard, but tachtona enosirkerem, the bottom field is not a vineyard, so then zareasa tachtona, then you can plant the bottom field, and vesa madrego achmagila malikaratam bakfanim, and you can plant the slope all the way up to here. In other words, you plant wheat down here, this is quite about where the wheat field is on the bottom. You plant wheat here, wheat here, wheat here, and you plant wheat all the way up to here. All the way up to the top of the slope. Again, because the slope is independent from either field on the top or on the bottom. Aye, aren't they getting? involved in the roots, right? Aren't the roots of the grapevines going like this into the slope, and aren't they mingling with the roots of the wheat? So it's Osir. Says Maran Babiosi, Leitz Kalnigar Fani Melamata Mesa Shlosha. Somehow he knew that the roots of the grapevine only could protrude from the grapevine, out from under the grapevine, more than three tefachim beneath the grapevine. And we said already that we don't care about mixing of roots more than three tefachim beneath the surface of the ground. Okay? Kadar the Tanis, we learn Shor Shepen Nichtosi Toch Arba Amos Sheva Kerem, when you have the roots of grain going within the four amos of the vineyard. Lamati Vishloja Tov, it's a little below, more than three tefachim beneath the ground. Then Arelim Mutar, in that case, it's okay. So therefore, here we don't care. It's not a problem. Okay, new Mishnah. Halacha Gimel. I like that word. You have this is a really trellis work. You have here in picture kuf chaf hay. You have something which looks like a large contraption for hanging laundry. You have lines, laundry lines, and multiple laundry lines. What? Yeah, it looks like a sukkah, but it's you have multiple laundry lines. Right, it's hollow. Everything is hollow. These are just wires going across. So then you took five vines and you leaned them over what part of the wires, and the expectation that eventually it's going to grow across the whole thing, right? But it's not there yet. Okay. So this case, Hamalas again from Mitzas Apipirus, Loyavi Zerel Tachas Amoyser. You can't plant grain underneath this part over here, even though this is still empty. You still can't plant underneath here. Sideways. The roots are underneath the circles, yeah.
The circles are where the roots are.
Yeah.
I'm looking the wrong way.
Eventually, it'll continue to grow. Right. That's why even now you can't plant on the other part of the papyrus. That's right. Right, so I'm still bowing, but it's eventually going to happen. Maybe. If, however, you did, plant over there, obviously, the low kiddush, it's not usur because there's nothing growing there yet. However, also logical, if it starts growing over there, usur, right? All this is just plain logic. Now we come to a very interesting thing. Let's say you didn't have an apipyrus. What you did have is a tree, an oak tree. Tree which doesn't bear fruit. And you use that as your trellis. You leaned your vine over your oak tree. So then, the same halach applies. You're not allowed to plant on the other part of the oak tree because eventually the vines will climb over there. Unless if you did, but you have it, it's not, it doesn't make it usur. However, hamalas given amitzas ilan macho. Let's say you trellised your grapevine over your orange tree. In that case, mutulavi zerel tachas moisar. In that case, you're allowed to plant grain under the rest of your orange tree. Why is that? Because you're not mevato your orange tree completely to your grapevine. Your tree, which is doesn't bear fruit, you are mevato, and you now have devoted to be a trellis and are going to allow the grapevine to continue to creep across the rest of your oak tree. And therefore the issue of apipyrus comes in. But you do not do that when it comes to your orange tree. Even if you're using part of your orange tree, your intent is not to use your complete orange tree for this task. And therefore it doesn't. Therefore I can plant under the rest of my orange tree. Because grain only asks, of course, in Kiliat Kerem. Let me just make that clear. Grain does not, there's no such thing as kilei tapuzim, right? Kilei tapuchim. The only way you can have kilayim by trees is by grafting, right? So therefore, in this case, you can plant under the rest of the fruit tree, okay? Mutar lav yizerel tachzam mosar. V'imolech ha-chadosh, and if the grapevines continue growing out over the rest of your orange tree, yachzirenu, take those branches down. Maisa shohol lach rabbi yeshua etzor rabbi shmol b'kfar aziz. Maisa and Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel went by to Kfar Aziz. He showed him a grapevine which was which was growing over part of a fig tree. Armalei mani lovi zerel tachos hamoitzer. Can I plant under the rest of it? Armalei said mutzer. Yes, you can, because of the halacha we just cited. Ve'elehu mishom lebeis ha'beis megunya. Then he took him to a place called Beis Megunya. Ve'erehu geven she'amudlea ha'miktsas ha'koira. And he showed them a grapevine which was growing trellis over part of a tree which had no fruit, but which rather grew boards. Vasad beams. It was a lumber tree. Vasadon shel shikma, or a sycamore tree. Uvo koros harbi, which has a lot of beams growing out of it, a lot of trunks. Amar Leisa said, tachsa koirazu osur. Underneath this trunk and this beam, it's osur. Even under the part of this beam where nothing is growing, you're not allowed to plant grain. Even under the part of this beam where no grapevine is growing yet, because your intent is to have the grapevine continue on in that direction. However, tashar mutar, since there are multiple trunks in the sycamore tree, you're allowed to plant grain under the other trunks over which the vine is not yet trellised. Okay? So it's only under the specific vine, which is serving to support, only under the specific trunk, which is supporting, serving right now to support the vine, not underneath the other trunks. Okay? And things change. But right now, it's okay. Azilon Sruk. What is considered to be not fruit-bearing tree which you subordinate to your grapevine? Koshen ose pears, anything which doesn't make fruit. Mer omer kol ilan tzrak, even fruit-bearing trees, you make subordinate to the grapevine and use them as trellises, except for two fruit-bearing trees. What are they? Chutz min hazayith, except for an olive tree, minatena, and a fig tree. Rabbi Yosimer, kosh enkamo notim soro shlemos, any tree which is not, from which you don't normally plant whole orchards, harezil on tzrak is considered to be a non-fruit-bearing tree.
Goes to show you again, you can always count on a mayor being the machmer in almost every case.
The mayor generally machmer, yes. Now, chizki amar, now here's a fascinating thing, which of course we didn't think of, which we really should have. What's the gap between each one of these wires? If the gap is less than 3 tefachim, what does that make those wires?
Connected.
What does that make?
The whole thing is, if it's overshadowing one part of it, and it's overshadowing the whole thing.
And therefore?
So therefore you can't put anything on
it. No!
Just the opposite?
Funkverkehrt.
Why?
If each wire is within 3 tefachim of the other, so this is a roof. So you're allowed to plant anything you want under any part of this. It's as if you put the grapevines over a hothouse and planted something else in the hothouse. Come on. That's pretty neat, isn't it? You're not impressed.
No, it makes sense.
Okay. Okay, so that's then the separation. So you can plant anything you want underneath there, underneath any part of it. Okay, now, so therefore, about where the gap between each wire is between 3 and 4 tefachim. If it's, if it's less than 3 tefachim, so you can plant under any part of that pirus, even where the grapevine's already growing, because it's considered to be separate and distinct. If it's between each wire, matchlim, then not only you're not allowed to plant under where the grapevines are growing, but also the rest of the apipyrus. The matchlim, you match them, it's across the top. Arba, however, what if you have, if these wires are first spaced apart, even wider than 4 tefachim between each wire, then nochasula, the iser comes off. Meaning that if this, there's more than 4 tefachim between each wire, then underneath up to where the grapevine ends, you're forbidden to plant. But beyond there, you're allowed to plant.
Because
the vines won't, they may, but they might. But there's a good likelihood that they won't, because there's such a great gap between each wire. So therefore, you're allowed to plant the rest of it. That's right. So our mission is specifically talking about where between each wire, there's no less than 3, but no more than 4. Okay? ad heichon. How far does this prohibition extend out? How broad is this apipirus? Says Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Shem, Milogit said that Ad Ramos, four Amos wide. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Milogit said Ad Sheish Amos, six Amos wide. Amr Amana Ramana said, at least the case Sarina, I went to his area. Bishamis Rabbi Yeshe Bar Shemi, Bishem Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Lazer said, Imayusham Shtei Papirois or Mutter. What if they're with they're small? They're two papyrus, one next to each other. Two of these structures, one here and one there. So he says under the first one it's also, and the second one it's mutter, which is arbitrary, because he's not going by distances, but just by the fact that it's two separate structures. Okay. Or Rabbi Chanina said, "V'tani upoli." We learned the brisa which argues on this, because there's a brisa which says, if they're two next to each other and it can go from one to the other, it still remains asur. V'tani came Rabbi Shimon Lazer Omer. We also learned a brisa like this. Another brisa like this, Rabbi Shimon Lazer says, people. If it goes from one structure to another structure, keep people achadu. It's like one self-stream structure. We learned in our Mishnah that what a question? What's the difference between a non-fruit-bearing tree and a fruit-bearing tree? Adam mevatel. Now the Gemara explains what the difference is. A person subordinates ilan tzraka gabikfano, a non-fruit-bearing tree, to be the trellis, to be the support for its grapevine, and therefore we treat it like an apipyrus. However, a person doesn't allow the rest of his fruit tree to become a support for his grapevine, and therefore we don't regard the rest of it as an apipyrus. Tamotin, we learned over there. That was one of these wild Yerushalmi connections. Wild, out of left field, as usual. Tamotin, we learned out there over there in a Mishnah on Kalim. If you have goatskins, goatskin, the old days they didn't have canteens, they had goatskins. Problem is that goatskins have holes in them. Because goats, they're still tar because they can be opened up, so they're not a din keli. Until they're sewn shut, they have to be sewn shut in order to be considered to be a keli. But if they can be tied and untied, they're not going to be a keli because the hole hasn't gone away. Except for the Arabs, because they tie them tightly and they're not taken apart. If it's a temporary knot, they're tar, because the hole is still extant, because it's made to come off and on. If it's a permanent knot, then they're makabel tuma, because they're vessels. Rabbi Yosi, most of the stars, no matter how it's tied, they're all tar because they're all considered to have holes. Istani, now here comes the interesting part. Istani tani machlif. There are those who learned that I may have said the exact opposite, meaning that if it's a temporary knot, it's tame. If it's a permanent knot, it's tar, which makes no sense, and we're just going to pick up on that in a minute. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yasa said, no, bimas nisin. Just ignore that last girsa, that it's a temporary knot as tome and a permanent knot as tar, because it makes no sense. Rather, learn like it says in the braisa. Rabbi Yudan said, no, I bring you a raya from kilayim, like the alternate girsa. What's the raya? Simona de kalim ki kilayim. You can draw a parallel between kalim, there can learn the sign of kalim like kilayim. How so? To locate Mabin Tsar Olam Litzar Shah. If not, what's the difference between a Tsar Olam, between a permanent knot and a temporary knot? Now, what's going on here? So, the concept is like this. Oh, I made a mistake. Sorry. Rabbi Yuna is bringing a riot to the Girsa, the Brisa. It's Rabbi Yana is going to bring a riot to the other Girsa. Okay, let me just do that again. I'm Rabbi Yuna. Rabbi Yuna said, Simona de Kalim, Kilaim. The Simon of Kalim is Kilaim. meaning the raya to the original girsa, that tzorur olam is worse because it's a permanent knot and therefore it's tummy, whereas tzorur shor, if it's a temporary knot, it's tor. The proof of that is kilayim. How is the proof of that kilayim? To locate ma'amin tzorur olam, ma'amin tzorur shor. If you wouldn't be learning from kilayim, what would be the difference? Meaning, here by kilayim, we're saying that which is subordinated, you allow the trellis to continue over. That which is not subordinated, you don't allow the trellis to continue over. So we look at what you're willing to be mevatel and what you're not willing to be mevatel. So that which you're mevatel is considered to be permanent. That which you're not mevatel is not considered to be permanent. Again, by us, that which you're willing, the trees which are ilonei tzrak, or even according to Rameh, ilonei meichel, fruit-bearing trees except for olive trees and fig-bearing trees, those you are willing to subordinate permanently to your grapevine, right? So we see those already get a din of grapevine. Whereas fruit-bearing trees, you're not willing to subordinate. So therefore, they don't get a din of being the grapevine, and that's why you can plant under the other half of that, plant grain under the other half of that orange tree or the other half of that fig tree. Now, says Rabbi Yudon, Kaili must be the same way. A knot which is permanent becomes part and parcel of the Kaili. And that's why the Kaili now is considered, even though it's not sown, it's considered to have a permanent container aspect to it, and it's Makabel Tuma. Whereas if it's a Tzor Shaw, if it's a temporary knot, so then you never fully closed up the knot, and that's why this Kaili cannot be Kabel Tuma. Why? Because it's made to potentially have a hole again. So that everything seems to be a parallel. The question is what you're mevato, what you're making on a permanent basis, not making on a permanent basis. That's what Rabbi Yudon says. Along comes Rabbi Yana and says, no, there's no comparison. You know why? Because there's an extra factor here. There's an extra factor which you're not taking into account by Kaili. What's the extra factor? Rabbi Yeve, Rabbi Yana, Amrei, Tzor Olam Tzor Chituch. Those which are tied forever, they're done in a fancier way. They're cut with so that I guess they have nice hems to them. So therefore, tying is not sufficient to make it a keli. What does it need besides the tying? Also the proper cut to it. As opposed to Tzorah Shah, by one which is Tzorah Shah, which is only temporary tied. So there, in that case, people don't cut it. So therefore, the moment it's tied, it's considered to be Gemar Malacha. So therefore, the Gemara is saying like this. What Rabbi Yana is saying is there's an additional factor which you're not taking into account. You write the alternate girsa, which we had in Rabbi Meir, that a permanent knot is tor and a temporary knot is tor, makes no sense at face value. But throw in the additional factor, then it makes sense. That in a case where you have a permanent knot, you also need to have it cut properly. And if it's not cut properly, it's not considered to be totally finished, and therefore it's not yet metame. A case where it has a temporary knot, they don't cut it so nicely. And therefore, as long as it has the knot, even if it's not cut properly, it's already metame. Okay? Design the stitch in the rest of it, though, not in the place where it's tied. Right? Because the place where it's tied, there are no stitches. The rest of it, somewhere else around it. Okay? So that's the difference. All right, let's go further. Piskei Oris. Now, Oris, of course, we said several times already, is when you have five vines in a row. That's picture Kuf Chavav. Five vines in a row near a wall. And the wall makes them into a kerem, even though you don't have the proper form of two and two and one behind. Okay? That's what we said about Oris. Now, what about if you have two Arisim in adjacent to another, to one another? Piskei Oris. Shmonavod. So between, in order to plant between the two arisim grain, you have to have at least 8 amos, which is picture kufchavav. You see that? Plus a little bit more. 8 plus a little bit more. The Gemara is going to say 8 plus is 8 and a tefach. You should know in general there's no any midah chachamim used by a vineyard never has an additional tefach chutz piskei aretz except for your chachamim through an extra tefach. Elam piskei aretz. What is a piskei aretz? Aretz shachora meemtzo. You had an aretz which was 11 trees long, and now, or more for that, matter. And now one or more are missing in the middle. Some of the trees are missing in the middle. So now there are 5 trees on the east and 5 trees on the west. Between the eastern branch and the western branch, there's 8 amos ve'od. Oh, there's only 8 amos between the two, sorry. You can't plant any grain in the middle. If there's an 8 plus 1 tefach between the two, then no steam law of adoso, then you distance 6 tefachim from either of the left, from each one of the last two trees, last inner trees, vizarez the most that you could plant in between the entire air in between. Does anybody get what's happening? Is that clear what's happening with Dr. Spindel?
Does it have to be in that scenario?
That's what I was going to ask. Mr. Zuger, do you understand what's happening? Okay. So if there's 8 amos in a tefach between the last one over here and the last one over here, then you distance of 6 tefachim from each one, and then you can plant the entire area in the middle. Okay? Says the Gemara Rishmona, Oish Yotim Nakoiso, Mitoch Karen. This is a funny case of the Machlokas Rambam and Rash, how to learn it. As you see, the Rash learns a case. Look at the picture of Kuv Chav Zayin. The fence is going on an angle, on a corner, right? So you have 2 on one side and 3 on the other side, and that's your 5. According to the Rambam, it's a really funny case. According to the Rambam, you have it's a triangle coming out of one of the walls where the wall makes a turn. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, that's the Rambam's case. You wouldn't be able to figure this out if you didn't have a picture. So says the Gemara, the Mishnah, or she hits it because we told Karen it's coming out of a corner. The kole, and it ends either like this going to the Rash or like this going to the Rambam. No slav adosu v'zareza moser. You only have distance of 6 tefachim, and you can plant from the end. Now, according to the Rash, that's Kuf Chav Zayin, from the last tree in either one of the lines. According to the Rambam, even from the top tree in this triangle, right, the tree which crowns the triangle, this is of 6 tefachim in your plant. Okay? Says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yisomer, he argues, says Meitzam Arba Amos Loyavizero Shom. You have to have more than it. You have to have 4 amos of distance. Hakanim Ayotzim in Oris. What if you have the Oris is of course a wall, right? What if the Oris has the wall has like branches coming out of it, and the grapevine might start climbing on those branches, kind of like a combination of be pure. Aris, right? Now in that wall, they're like branches coming out. So says the Gemara, Hakanim Yitzim Aris, Chasalein Leposkon. If you don't want to cut those branches down from the wall, right, those branches which are shooting out of the wall, then Kenegdon, if you just don't want to cut them down, Kenegdon Mutter. Then you can plant grain underneath those outcroppings from the wall. However, if you made them intentionally as a trellis that eventually the grapevines will creep up those outcroppings, then it's also to plant grain underneath them, obviously. Let's say we have a case where actually there is a grapevine coming out over the wall and shooting out over to the other side. Okay, you get the scenario? One of the vines is shooting out over the wall to the other side. So now to plant the royal muscle kilim to tell Sliabo, you see it as if a plumb line is hanging from it and connect the osir directly underneath the branches osir. The chaim bedalis. And so too by the api pure, bedalis and api pure, the same thing. Where if you had a branch coming out, let's say over here, In the case of Abipua, if you had a branch coming out all the way over here, then you'd put a plumb line down from here, and directly opposite the plumb line would be Osir. Okay, beyond Abipua. Okay, v'hamoseach's morim yol ilon ilon. Also, if you bring a branch, you stretch a branch from vineyard vine to vine, tachteh osir, you're not allowed to plant under that branch. Sipka b'chevelo b'gemi. What if you supported that branch with rope or with rubber? Underneath tachas asipuk mutar. So then there's a very interesting halacha, very big, interesting difference. This is my grapevine. I put a support directly underneath it. I want to plant grain underneath here. It depends what the support is for. If the support is, if this is not in order to support the grapevine, but is actually made as a mechitza, so then I can plant here grain underneath. If the support, however, is made to actually support the grapevine, so then I'm not allowed to plant underneath. Again, because the concept of bittul, right? If this is made right by the fruit tree, if this is made to support the grapevine, it's bittul to the grapevine, and then underneath here it's also. If it's looking for behind the mechitza, behind the mechitza, go around, go on. If, however, this is made, in fact, to be a mechitza, so then that works as a separate chatzitza between. Okay, that's a valid chatzitza, and then you can plant grain directly underneath here. That's a big loophole, yeah. But it's not always, it's very, very hard to utilize, because it means there's no apifior there, and there's no oris, it's just a single branch coming out of the tree. Right, a single branch. Okay. Our Mishnah said there's only one case in all of Kilayim where it's more than 8 amos, and it's 8 amos and a tefach. Doesn't it argue Rabbi Zira? The Rabbi Zira Amar Shmona Chutzi Mokum Karsin. Rabbi Zira says that when you have two rows of grapevines and you plant underneath them, you need 8 amos plus the place where you're planting the cabbages or whatever's in between. So you see that there you also need 8 amos vold. Need the 8 amos, 4 amos of distance on either side of the cabbages and the width of the cabbages. So there it's also a little bit more than 8 amos. Says the Pasar La. Pasar, this is all part of Gash, I'm sorry. Pasar Shmon Amos Koshu. That's 8 amos, a little bit more for the place where the cabbage is growing in the middle. The lama lotanisa. Why don't you mention that case as well? Says Marva Lotis Barkai. No. Don't you know? Didn't you think of that which we know? The Omer Rabbi Yochanan said, call me the Shomer Chachami Vo Tefach. Where Chachami used the word Vo like our mission means exactly Tefach. Fahi Ribchot Sivchar. There, it's much more than a Tefach. Because it's the 8 amos, which are the 4 amos each between the vines, and then the thickness of the row in the middle, which could be a lot more than a single tefach. So that's not comparable to our case. Our mission is the only case where it's 8 amos and a tefach. In that case of Rabbi Zira, it's 8 amos and a lot more, because it's the width of whatever is being planted in the middle. Okay? Vahin riba tzivchar. There it's much more. Lefunke and lotnisa, that's not, it's not, that case not mentioned. Rabbi Yoina asks, Lomali non omrin, why is it that anon omrin that we are saying, call me the shomru chachomi, emboem v'od chutzi pischioris, there's no other case of v'od, except for pischioris? What are you talking about? There's no other place in Shatz where it says v'od? What? How can this be? This is preposterous. Vatina, I'll give you a mishnah right off the bat. It says about menachos that aseres kabin yushalmin, a certain menachos are brought as 10 kabin yushalmin, shein shisha soim, which are 6 tenths, vadayun, and vod. Iduyon means a little bit more. So there the word vod is used. How can you say we never find vod in all of Shas? Here I found a case for you. It says, more tamal amidos, that's a volume. Kan lamos, here it's a distance. We never find by distances, only by volumes. Okay, I know we're splitting hairs, but that's what Gemara is all about, right? Vatina, what about a case of Rabbi Yosef ben Shlomo Omer? V'od kav lemeya soya saw al shtus lemedama. It says also you need a little bit more over a kav an extra six to be precise, in order to mit, in order to take away the concept of meduma, in order that you shouldn't have truma being, in order to make truma batel, right, which is one in a hundred, plus a little bit more, plus a vod. So there we see also the word vod. Again, tam lamidos kan lamas. It's about volume, not about distance. But, you know, what about the following case? Rabbi Yom, Rabbi Yudah ben Bava, hakina v'karpa shishivim v'shirayim, hashim v'shirayim. Eruvim. You're not allowed to have within an Eruv an area which is 70 and a remainder on 70 by a remainder of plants, of a garden, or of a wild, uncultivated area. That's called, what's that called? Does anybody remember? Well, here it says, a karpath. Right now it's a karpath, a wild area which is not suitable for human habitation. Within an Eruv, or more than 72 thirds amos, by 72 thirds amos, cancels the whole Eruv. So we have this Shiloh all the time. It's very prevalent Shiloh. For instance, here in the Chicago Eruv, in all the Chicago Eruvin, there's a Shiloh of the water. Because the Chicago Canal, the north branch of the Chicago River, is in the Eruv. So it should be a karpa because it's not suitable for human habitation. So we're passing that if the water is roy to drink, or at least to use for laundry, so it'll be included in the Eruv, because then it's tantamount to human habitation. And you should know that this water, even though it's once very polluted, so there was a study done recently on it, and now it's not so gefarlich if you drink it anymore. If a child drinks it, he gets sick, but an adult will drink it, nothing will happen to him. And it, certainly it can be used for washing clothes. So that's the heter to use it as part of the Eruv. So be that as it may, it's 70 and two-thirds, 70 vod, right? She rhymed. Shmuel Amar, Bishnei Shlishi Amoshanu. Shmuel says, yes, it's true. That's a little bit more. There's a vod over there, but there it's much more than a tefach. There it's two-thirds of an amo. How many tefachim are two-thirds of an amo? I'll give you a hint. An amo is six tefachim. It's four, so it's much more. There's never more. Here it's one tefach, there it's four, so there's a big difference. We haven't done two blah yet, have we? We're close to two blah?
Two more lines.
So that's, we started on Omer Alf, didn't we? Then we started on Chav Tes Mel?
So we just got to do just the top of
the. We started over there at the Mishnah? Okay, so there's a little, few more lines. Truth is, I wanted to finish the Perek today, but I don't know if we'll be able to do that. Says the Gemara. We'll leave that for tomorrow. Now, this is the statement, not a kasha. V'lo shanya ben shabana gadar v'chakach notah chadis v'ikfanim. It doesn't make a difference whether the fence came first and then the 11 trees came. Or first you planted 11 trees, chayah bana gadar v'chakach nifsuka oris. And... oh, I skipped. I didn't read it right. V'lo shai bet shabana gedor chakam nota. No, I didn't read it right. Well, let me read it over again anyway. V'lo shai bet shabana gedor chakam nota chadis v'ikvarim. Bet shabana chadis v'ikvarim chakam bona gadar. V'chakam nivsko em tzois. And then the one in the middle got taken away. Yesh kan oris v'yesh kan pitzke oris. There's an oris and there's pitzke oris. So it doesn't make a difference. No matter how the order occurred. And even if you started with 10. Or if you start with 11 and then one got uprooted in the middle, like you asked before, it makes no difference. Chorav agoder. What happens if the fence is gone? Ain't kan lo oris lo piskei oris. There's no oris to talk about. It's not a vineyard anymore. Because we said the whole God's vineyards is two rows. Here it's a special chumra that since there's a fence, so even one row. You take away the fence, there's no oris and no piskei oris, nothing to talk about. Rabbi Avdumi bar achud Rabbi Yesi boy said, here boy is a statement. Chazer benoya, if you rebuild the fence, at Omer, of course you say, Chazer oris limkoimu. The oris goes back to its place. It's all logical. With the kavasan, so too Chazer piskei oris limkoimu, so too the gap in the middle also is restored as well. Rabbi Yosi b'shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Maisel shesor, if there's a maisel shesor, Rabbi Yochanan, shesor for Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, benigna. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri burnt Kilei Akerem in Negina, in the city of Niger. Ma Sorav, what he burned? Piskei Ori Sorav. He burned You know what? This is a long thing. Well, it's not so long. It is. No, it's not so long. We'll do it. We're not going to finish, man. We'll just go five more lines. Masar piskei arsarf. Rabbi Chiya b'shem Rabbi Yochan said, Maaseh she'sarf, Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri ben Naginar, Maaseh, he didn't burn piskei aris. In other words, according to the first opinion, he burned that which grew in an area this wide, which an area between two arisim, which wasn't the proper gap. Rabbi Chiya b'shem Rabbi Yochan said, Maaseh she'sarf, Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri ben Naginar, Maaseh ben aris l'gader sarf. He burned that which grew between the vines and the wall. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Piskei Aris is only Nisa Derabanan. And he wouldn't burn the Kili HaKerem which grew there. The Chatchila, you shouldn't plant there. But the Yevet, if you did plant there, so it's okay. However, according to the first opinion, which is Rabbi Yossi named Rabbi Yochanan, as opposed to Rabbi Chivshan named Yochanan. No, even if you plant here and the gap is not wide enough, that's mamish kilaim, and you got to burn it if it grows there. Okay? Rabbi Yossi said, "Kashisa kami kumi Rabbi Yochanan Yaakov Aracha." That's from Rabbi Yaakov Aracha. Nicha piskei aris yarisarf. According to opinion that the story is about piskei aris. So aris. Then that's he burned. Then there's the Chiddush to tell me the Maisa. Because Chachomim argue, and they all, Piskei Aris is not Mamish Kilayim, you don't have to burn it. So along came Rabbi Yochanan and said, you should know that Rabbi Yochanan was arguing Chachomim, and he burned Piskei Aris. Then the discussion makes sense. However, Ben Oritz the Gadir Sarat. But if the Maisa of Yochanan Nuri is talking about between the Oritz, the vines, and the fence, do Chachamim argue on that? Everybody agrees that that's Mamish Kilayim. So what's this Maisa? This Maisa's not telling me anything I didn't know. Rabbi Yochanan is just following Chachamim. What's the Chachamim? Says Mar, no. The Lo Shmia, you didn't hear. Dom Rabbi Yaakov Aracha, Rabbi Yaakov Aracha said, Yispagam Rabbi Yochanan Reshim and Lachish Aris Atzmo Mau. Even by Aris itself, it's Taka Machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Osir Mekadish. Rabbi Yochanan says, but between the Aris and the fence, it's Osir and it's Mekadish, and you gotta burn it. Rabbi Shimon Lachish Omar, Osir Vena Mekadish. Shimon Lachish says that even what grows between the vines and the fence is not Osir Midoraisa, and you don't have to burn it. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us a Chiddush that which grows between the Aris and the fence is definitely climb, and you definitely have to burn it like Rabbi Yochanan and not like Reish Lakish. We'll stop here for tonight.